Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Katie Pierce with Breaking the Silence, and we're coming to you with reference to domestic violence. And I have been really, really seriously contemplating domestic violence and the church's response to domestic violence. And that's because of the fact that we see so many situations and circumstances taking place in the church. And the church, unfortunately, is not ready to respond. Remember on last week we were touching bases about it, or we touched base with reference to how four out of every 10 women will be abused in some sort of way every second or so, or every minute. And we discussed how those women are a member of somebody's church. And so when we look at that and when we give deep contemplation to that, we have to take a look at the church's response to domestic violence. And as we just begin to contemplate and revisit some things concerning domestic violence, I think we've gotten a good feel, or we've gotten a good definition as to what domestic violence is. We understand that, you know, domestic violence is Illinois, specifically Domestic Violence Act that was passed to protect women. Some things have to happen when there's domestic violence, when it occurs. They touch base with how your job situation, even on your job when you're going through domestic violence, they can't fire you for the domestic violence, but they need to do something to have a ready hand or have something available on your job to assist you when you're going through domestic violence. There's just certain criteria and things that have taken place. And what I'm looking at is the Illinois Domestic Violence Act, which is a book I received. And it just begins in the table of contents, just talking about the purpose of the act and the how to get an order of protection and 30-day interim order of protection and the different types of protection that one can get, those types of things, of what to look for when you go to trial and things of that nature. So this act shall be liberally construed and applied to promote its underlying purposes, which are to recognize domestic violence as a serious crime against the individual and society, which produces family disharmony in thousands of Illinois families, promotes a pattern of escalating violence, which frequently culminates in intra-family homicide, and creates an emotional atmosphere that is not conducive to a healthy childhood. Recognize domestic violence against high-risk adults with disabilities who are particularly vulnerable due to impairments or ability to seek or obtain protection as a serious problem, which contains on many forms, including physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, exploitation, facilitate accessibility of remedies under the Act in order to provide immediate and effective assistance. Again, we're reading this from the Illinois Domestic Violence Act, Order of Protection in Civil Court. This is the act that they've situated, or the act that they've implemented in order to protect women, in order to protect children and those who are going through domestic violence. And so it says to recognize that the legal system has ineffectively dealt with family violence in the past, allowing abusers to escape effective prosecution or financial liability, and not adequately acknowledge the criminal nature of domestic violence, that although many laws have changed in practice, there is still widespread failure to appropriately protect and assist victims. And so when we look at that, you know, Illinois per se taking responsibility for what they need to do, we, the church, has to take responsibility as well. And I have to go back and say, for instance, what things are being implemented in your church, in your congregation, to assure that those who are going through domestic violence have a voice, that they're being heard, that things are really, really being put in place to protect them, to keep them safe, and that type of thing. Even not even from a standpoint of just coming to worship, per se, but from a standpoint of a woman comes into your office as a pastor and begins to tell you that the chairman of the deacon board, who is her husband, has been abusing her. What steps are you going to take to ensure her protection? Or are you going to have the good old boys system and you're going to go to him and address it in a manner which is not going to bring protection to her, that's not going to solve the situation, but that is only going to escalate the situation? And so these are things, when we talk about it, that we need to do from the church's perspective that will assist women to get the help that they need. It says, support the efforts of victims of domestic violence to avoid further abuse by promptly entering and diligently enforcing court orders which prohibit abuse, and when necessary, reduce the abuser's access to the victim, and address any related issues of child custody, economic support, so that the victims are not trapped in abusive situations by fear of retaliation, loss of a child, financial dependence, or loss of access or loss of accessible housing or services. Now, I'm reading this and I'm thinking about, you know, because of the things that were withdrawn, the funding that's been withdrawn from many housing places or shelters, if you will, monies have been withdrawn from it. I think that Illinois is reverting back to a place of not getting substantial financial support to shelters so that it can accessible housing to those who are going through domestic violence. And from my perspective, you know, being an advocate, I think that phone calls need to be made to our representative, our state legislators, to be able to find out what are you doing to adequately support domestic violence. I think that there needs to be even a rise in that domestic violence needs its own platform to begin to educate people and bring awareness to domestic violence. I'm not trying to, again, take away from cancer awareness, but I really feel like domestic violence is overshadowed when it comes to cancer awareness. And I do understand, again, the importance of bringing awareness to cancer and cancer prevention, but I also feel that there needs to be an equal amount of awareness given to those who are going through domestic violence. And so as I'm reading this and my mind is churning with some things, there are just some steps that needs to be taken in order that domestic violence has its own platform. To clarify the responsibilities and support the efforts of law enforcement officers to provide immediate, effective assistance and protection for victims of domestic violence, recognizing that law enforcement officers often become the secondary victim of domestic violence, as evidenced by the high rates of police inquiries and deaths that occur in response to domestic violence calls, and expand the civil and criminal remedies for victims of domestic violence, including, when necessary, the remedies which affect physical separation of the parties to prevent further abuse. When I look at that and I think about that, I was actually thinking about taking steps to open, for lack of a better word, a cool-down system, or a cooling-down place, whereas the perpetrator would have to come, because I know that there are things that have been set up where the perpetrators definitely have to take some type of awareness, anger management classes and things of that nature. But what if there was a place where they could go to stay for 24 hours where a counselor or someone was on hand to be able to talk to them to find out how did that episode or what happened to, you know, especially in a case where it's just non-physical violence, but perhaps just verbal emotional type of abuse, somebody to be able to talk them through that situation in an environment that would be conducive, or a place where they can go, you know, people who go through Alcoholics Anonymous and people who go through Drug Anonymous, there are meetings and places that they can go to help them. I am in no way trying to equate a person who is in domestic violence or a person who is a perpetrator of domestic violence in the same category as those who are going through drugs. But I do think that there are things that need to be in place and things that need to be available to people so that they, too, can get the help that they need. You know, they set it up for women when they are, when if they have a child, and in order for them to not do harm to the child, they have a law that has been implemented and established where they can go and take the child to a firehouse, or they can take it to police station and they can lock the, you know, leave the child there in their care and no questions asked kind of a thing. We need to have some more things in place, whereas people who are having anger management issues or people who, you know, need to just get away, they want to walk away from a situation that is becoming hostile or violent so that they can have a cool-down system. Another thing that I thought of, and I'm thinking through, this is, again, just me bouncing things off of you, and I really, really appreciate it. I was also thinking about something where if a person or a perpetrator has had too many calls of domestic violence or too many order of protections have been released against that person, then I do think that there needs to be a web page that a woman can go on to begin to look up a person and say, see that, you know, this person has 12 order of protections that have been implemented against them, and this might not be a person that you should consider dating, or something along those lines, something whereas we can protect ourselves and do some things that we can break it down so that things don't escalate. We can stop it literally before it starts, okay? And so as we begin to look at the different things, the purpose of this act, are the following terms to have. When it talks about abuse, abuse means physical abuse, harassment, intimidation of a dependent, interference with personal liberty, a willful deprivation, but does not include reasonable direction of a minor child by parent or person in loco parentis. Okay, so now it's a lot of legal jargon, and I'm not even going to try to enunciate those things, as I am sure I am not doing it effectively. But I just want us to begin to understand when we hear the word abuse, we often straight go through just, it's just something physical. How often have you heard somebody say who's going through domestic violence, well, it wasn't that bad, he didn't do this, or there was no physical scarring on me, and so it wasn't that bad. He just pushed me, or he just spit on me, or whatever the case may be. You know, at least I'm not like so-and-so. My head didn't get busted. And we have to begin to understand when you talk about domestic violence, it starts off low-key, but it escalates. It escalates. And so if you don't set boundaries and if you don't deal with it when it starts, then it can definitely escalate to something that gets out of control or becomes out of hand. And so as we begin to look at domestic violence, as we begin to identify it appropriately and do what's necessary, I just want to encourage you, you know, if you are a person and you feel like you are going through domestic violence, if you feel like you have been a victim of domestic violence, it is so important that you get some assistance, get the help that you need so that you can deal with it appropriately. And so I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you to contact somebody, to get in touch with somebody. I was reading about a woman who had gone through domestic violence in a different way, in that she had contracted HIV through having a relationship with somebody, and this person was bringing harm to women in that he was going around and being sexually active with various women, and these women were contracting AIDS, that within itself is a violence, it's a crime. And so as we begin to look at these things, we have to begin to definitely get the help that we need. I just want to begin to say that the crisis in our South Suburbia, that's somewhere that you can call and get some help if you're going through domestic violence. You want to reach out to them and let them know where you are, what's needed. They do have minimal housing situation that they can help you to be housed there. They do have a facility, but you have to reach out. Their 24-hour hotline, just FYI, is 708-429-7233. Again, Crisis Center of South Suburbia. The hotline is 708-429-7233. And so you want to call them. If you just need some situation where you've gotten out of domestic violence and you're really, really just trying to find a place of safety, or you just need somebody to talk to, I adjure you to call myself, Pastor Katie Pierce with Hope Alliance. I can be reached at 708-574-2533. Again, the number is 708-574-2533. Let us talk to you. Let us pray with you. Let us hold your hand and encourage you to do what's necessary so that you can become safe, so your children can become safe if children are involved. And so we just wanted to share that with you. Now, if you have a friend, who's an abuser, let's talk about that for a minute. If you have a friend who is an abuser, it is imperative that you talk to them, that you get them to clearly understand that you're their friend, but that you disapprove of their actions. You disapprove of their actions. Oftentimes, you know, we try to walk away from situations. We see somebody being combative. We see somebody becoming abrasive and abusive, and we just want to walk away from the situation. If you have a friend that's an abuser, it's important that you let them know, the man, you know, or girl, whomever, I'm your friend, you know, we homies, we go way back, but I do not approve of what you're doing, and I suggest that you get help, reach out to them, let them know, you know, that their behavior, of course, is not conducive. Don't condone the abuse. Don't condone the abuse. You know, they're saying things, she deserved it or he deserved it. Don't condone that. You know, one thing my mom used to always say is you can't raise an adult. You cannot raise an adult. You can't bring an adult, come on somebody, into the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says bring up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. But you cannot raise an adult. And so abuse is never okay. We need to let them know that abuse is never okay. And oftentimes a person that's abusive, they may want to get out of that particular situation. I would encourage you to give them that same number for them to call them and let them know that, you know, I'm having some issues with my anger. I'm really trying to get it under control. I love my wife. I love my children. And I understand that this is harmful. I need help. Encourage them. Also, the abuser, encourage the abuser to reach out and get some help. Don't just get stuck in the middle, you know, feeling like you're stuck, you're the go-between person. But, you know, give them the information that they need that's going to assist them, and then take a step back from the situation. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to encourage you, if you know somebody who is having some issues with anger, if you know somebody who needs some assistance in that area, definitely encourage them to get some help. Explain to them possessiveness and jealousy are not love. And this one here goes a long way, a long way. You know, I hear people saying, you know, well, I'm jealous. I just love that person so much. I love them so much. And of course, this, me being a pastor, you know, you have to take them to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which is also known as the love chapter. And it says love does not behave itself unseemly. You can't fly all off the handle. You can't possess a person or be possessive of a person. But love, it looks an entirely different way. Love does not look possessive. Love does not look jealous. That's not love. And so we have to begin to explain that possessiveness and jealousy are not love. When you're talking to a friend, that's an abuser. Again, encourage them to talk to a counselor. You know, go with them if it's help. If that's your friend, if that's your buddy, and you know that they need some help, encourage them. Let them know, man, I'll go with you. You know, but you need to get some help in this situation, because whomever the person that's being abused, she loves you, man, and you need to do everything you can to make this thing work. And so be there, listen, and stay there. You may feel like a broken record, but you'll be surprised at how much of what you are saying is getting through. You have to keep drilling it. You have to keep saying it over and over again if you have to, you know, to let them know that they need help. And then if you're encouraging them to go to a counselor, definitely you want to go back and check with them. You know, man, did you call in? Did you make that appointment? You know, how did it go? You made an appointment. It was such and such a day. You know, how did it go? What can I do to help you, to encourage you to stick with it, to stay with it, you know, to just stay, hang in there. Do that. My goodness, I think this is just rich information, because oftentimes we talk about the victim and what we can do to assist the victim, but we don't really talk about what we need to do the abuser. And so these are the things that you want to do. You want to talk to the abuser if you feel safe doing so. Talk about concerns. Refuse to accept any excuses. Be clear that you are still a friend, but that you disapprove of the behavior. Do be there. Listen. Stay there. You may feel like a broken record, but you'll be surprised at what you're saying and that is getting through, if that friendship is important. Do recognize and praise good behavior. You know, if they have a situation where they averted some things, you want to say, man, you handled that really, really well, man. I'm proud of you, man. You know, keep up the good work. Do help them to clarify their feelings. Explain that possessiveness and jealousy are not love. Encourage them to talk to a counselor and go with them in his help if it helps. Now, don't condone the abuse. Abuse is never okay. Not because of a bad day, because someone was drunk, not because someone was really, really angry. Abuse is never okay. I need to say that again. Abuse is never okay. Don't encourage abuse. Laughing at degrading jokes or put down signals acceptance of the behavior. You may feel like, you know, well, I didn't do anything. I told him that wasn't good, but you're snickering and you're laughing. Abuse is never funny. Putting down people and talking about them, you know, calling them stupid and ignorant and things of that, it is never funny. And it denotes acceptance to the behavior. Don't get stuck in the middle. Don't offer to be a go-between for the couple. You are there to help him or her bring about change in an abusive an abusive situation. So don't get stuck in the middle. Don't be the go-between. Just help them to bring about some change in their abusive behavior. Don't cut off your friends. Reject the behavior, not the person. Be very clear about this. Explain that you want them to know that their abusive actions are bad, not that they are a bad person. Their abusive actions are bad, not that they're a bad person. And so when you begin to assist them, when you begin to step out and to help them to get to the place that they need, definitely let them know that you are there as a friend and encourage them. And again, I can't help but repeat myself within that. If they make it an appointment, if you encourage them to make an appointment to see a counselor, you definitely want to come back and get some feedback on that. You know, did you go? Did you call? Do you need me to go with you? You know, get a buddy system in place in order to help the abuser. that person that's having some anger control issues and that type of situation, if the person feels like, you know, where they're going is not helping them, then encourage them to find a counselor or somebody who they're comfortable with who will help them. Again, we gave you a number for South Suburbia Crisis Center. I do also want to suggest that you go to your pastor, that you reach out to him, that you reach out to other counselors over your men's ministry, people of that caliber. You definitely want to reach out to somebody if you're having some anger issues, because you don't want to get to a point where as something happens and you're not able to, there's no turning back. Are you with me? There's no turning back. You don't want to get to a place where there's no turning back. And so on today, as we have talked to you about what to do about an abuser, we also went over some of the particulars, talking about the Illinois Domestic Violence Act that was instituted to protect those who are going through domestic violence. And so I appreciate you listening to with us on tonight. And as always, we just want to close with the word of prayer. And I do want to suggest that you read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, talking about the love chapter and what love should look like. I do feel we have a misconception of what love is. Sometimes we confuse love with lust. We've fallen in lust with somebody and not in love with somebody. And we really, really need to get those two things separated. And so as you begin to read the scripture, meditate on it. I adjure you to meditate on it. I ask that you would ask the Holy Spirit to come in to reveal some things, uncover some things, help you to be able to dialogue and express what your feelings are, what you're feeling, what you're going through, those types of things. If you're a person who has some anger issues, and so we know that the Bible says a kind word turns away wrath. A kind word turns away wrath. Learning how to suppress, learning how not to fly off the handle. These things are so important when we talk about learning how to get connected or learning how to get that violence, get that anger under control. I want to say this also. The Bible does not say that anger in and of itself is a sin, but it's the thing that comes from it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't get angry and begin to fester in that angry, in that now it's spilled over into some bitterness. It's spilled over into some wrath. And so we want to learn how to address anger and learn how to deal with anger in a healthy manner, because it's an emotion. Learn how to deal with it in a healthy manner that's going to be conducive to all those who are around you. Amen. And so, again, we appreciate you joining us tonight. We do appreciate you joining us for Breaking the Silence. And again, we do want to give voice to those who are going through domestic violence on tonight. We do thank God for just giving revelation to talk a little bit about what should happen when they're to the person who is the abuser, to the person who's having some issues in that particular area. We do so appreciate you listening and your joining in with us. So let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Hallelujah, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come now before your sight and before your presence. We come, God, because your word says, in everything through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to make our requests known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and our minds. So we pray now, O Lord God, for someone who may be listening, who's going through anger issues, O God, who does not know how to corral their anger, God. We pray now in the name of Jesus that you will begin to reveal yourself to them as Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, reveal yourself to them, O God, and help them to take the necessary steps to become that which you are, the God of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and we count this prayer done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us here on Breaking the Silence. Breaking the Silence, yours truly, here's at Hope Alliance, Inc. Please go to Facebook. Let us know that you enjoyed what you heard on tonight. Any questions that you may have had, visit our webpage also, HopeAllianceInc.com. Visit our webpage. Email at healing@HopeAllianceInc.com. Email us, and we'll get back to you as well. I'm just trying to give you all the avenues. Again, the number if you need some assistance, 708-574-2533, and we can either help you or direct you. Again, thank you for listening, and until next week, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.